Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. If you missed the prophetic urgent warning trumpet or whatever it's called yesterday's program, you need to get it. Go to VFNTV.com. It is a now word. And isn't it cool to know? I mean, think about it. There was a day that you just didn't have weathermen. You know, you didn't have somebody to say, yeah, today over the farm, there's going to be a tornado form in the back part of your property. So when you're out pulling your horse and your cart over the field, you're going to be turned upside down, you know? I mean, you just didn't have warnings. And with today's technology, hurricanes begin to form. When they first get their first breeze, we start naming them. We give them a name before they're even a tropical storm. And then we give them a new name when they become a tropical storm, a depression, tropical storm, and then eventually a hurricane. Then we start projecting where it's going to hit. So a lot of people can prepare, you know, and then suddenly it ends up somewhere. And that's what it's almost like we have a prophetic word over the weather. I mean, somebody's telling us what, based on their experiences, what they're hearing and what they're sensing, that this is going to happen. And, you know, sometimes they're right, you know, but hurricanes only last for a very short time. I forget how many hours it was that Hurricane Katrina was on shore. It wasn't many.
Mm-mm.
The entire lifespan was probably less than 24 hours. The time on American soil is probably more like 8 hours or something. But look at all the devastation it caused. And you look at earthquakes. Earthquakes last for a few moments, you know? Mm-hmm. Just a few moments. But then everything is shaken. The tsunami that hit Japan, you know, I was just talking to Jabri, you know, and Jabri was riding his bicycle. A big shout out to Jabri this morning through Japan. Mm-hmm. And he didn't read the language and has this flashing sign. And so he tried to go in. They wouldn't let him go in. So he goes to this other place. They let him in again. So he stops off at a local 7-Eleven.
In Japan. Wow.
He comes in. Konnichiwa. You know, the whole thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell him that actually is where the nuclear reactor spilled.
Oh, my
He
goodness.
Almost rode his bicycle through
nuclear waste.
Through a nuclear reactor. And God had mercy. You know, we were praying for Jabri on his journey around the world. And God kept him out of that. He said he dumped all of his water out and everything, you know. But just think. I mean, God kept him from that. But that just took a moment. It was just a moment that a wave washed in, washed that whole city away, and destroyed those reactors and spilled out all that. It was just a moment.
Mm.
So really, when you look at disaster, you look at 9/11, it was a few moments. But look what 9/11 did. It changed the culture of America. It changed the way we do things. It changed the way we secure ourselves. It, you know, we got overboard with it. But, you know, we changed everything. But that was just, you know, one plane was, it happened, and then it wasn't long later for another plane happened. And then, so that wasn't a long time. That was a short period of time. And the warning that in our earlier program, and you need to hear it, we're talking a year here. We're talking a year. We're not talking 11 hours. We're not talking 24 hours. We're not talking two planes. We're talking a year. And some of the prophetic words that's been given over what's going to be happening, all these words are available to you on VFNTV.com. You go to the VFN Torch and look for prophecies and look for the words over America. But Texas, you have to understand, I mean, if you know our history, that's where we were going to be. I mean, Texas is a strong state. Texas is a hub state. Texas, you know, is the Lone Star State. And, you know, every state has their issues, but they're strong. But that's the state that's going to be hit the hardest based on prophetically. And if Texas is going to be hit hard, 49 other states need to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay attention. Because if you've never been to Texas, you have to understand. Imagine yourself, you're in a John Wayne movie. You know, that people truly are, you know, true grit. They have this tenacity to push on through. They don't wear boots because it makes them look good. They wear boots because they wear boots. You know, they have steers with horns that is wide as a studio, you know,
yeah,
in their front yard. And They're just amazing people. Their schools, you know, it's just amazing folks. I mean, but obviously you're looking at, you know, the enemy wanting to come after, you know, our strength. But the question is God allowing our strength to become come after? Hmm. So if the strong man, this is what Jesus said, if a robber comes to rob a house and he binds the strong man, then he can rob the whole house. He can destroy the whole house. That's what he said. Washington's not the strong man. Texas is the strong man. If you can bind Texas, you can take America. Mm. Reports are that Texas alone is responsible for 50% of America's economic growth right now. 50%. Wow. If you hit Texas's economy, 50% of who we are crashes. Isn't it interesting, too, the enemy brought Ebola to Texas?
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Of all the places.
Of all the places to Texas. You got to go all over all these other, you know, to go there. And we're looking at the borders were flooded over Texas. We're talking about prophetically, but we're seeing it manifest in the naturally. And then you look at our federal government, based on reports, put the governor of Texas, had him arrested, which is putting him in jail for a moment, because he was trying to defend, they said it was for one thing, but they were upset because he was defending the borders, America, the flood of illegal immigrants. And listen, it's not the illegal immigrants as much as it was the handful that came with the illegal immigrants. It's the people who are against America that came in the midst of the people who need America. You know what I'm saying? There's what you do when you bring something in, you mix it in with a whole bunch of other stuff. Mm-hmm. Good stuff, preferably, because everybody's just going to say, that's good, come on in. Mm-hmm. But reports are that gang members from the
drug cartels and
MS-13. They all came through. We're talking like young gangsters, young kids. But you know, if you're 10, if you're 50, if you're holding a .357 Magnum in your hand, the results are the same. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're 15 or you're 25 and somebody has both of them have a knife in their hand, the knife still cuts. You know what I'm saying? It's just real weird how people go, oh, but you know, he was only 15. He murdered three people.
Yeah.
Right.
That's evil. Mm-hmm. There is no blank check because you're 15 and you can murder folks. But in America, it's like, oh, they were 15. They had a few struggles. They murdered three people, you know? And Texas is going to be in the southwest part of America. But Texas, think about Texas, the strong man. Jesus said, if you bind the strong man, he said, this is what he said too. Any nation divided against itself will not stand. America is so divided. We have been so polarized by our present leadership. This present leadership has been given to us because of our present sin. And we don't even know, we're not even reading our Bibles like Josiah to understand that we are in sin, that we do need to repent and we need to turn from our ways. And it's like, it's just going to crank it up. And you got to hear that word, but I'm just telling you that speaking to you about, you know, God is the creator of the universe. You have to understand, he's created everything. He's holding everything together. He created you in his image, in his likeness. He created you to have fellowship with him. Not to go your own way. Now, you can choose to go your own way, but that is sin. It's going against the creator who created you. He made a way for you to be in relationship with him through his son, but you can choose not that. But understand, it will not be good with that. It won't work out for you because that's not why the creator created you. You can say, why did he do this? And it's sort of like the pot saying to the pot, or the clay saying to the potter, why did you make me this way? It's kind of arrogant when you think about it, because how could a computer that was built by Bill Gates look at him and go, who do you think you are? And Bill Gates will go say, your creator.
Mm.
I made you. And he's going to unplug it and chunk it out and start again. I mean, God created us. And so God said this through his son. He said, every nation divided against itself will not stand. Even every household divided against itself will not stand. I mean, how many households today that you're just fighting for your survival in your own house? You're trying to survive your own marriage. You're trying to survive your own family. And they got this stuff talking about, you know, child abuse. There is parent abuse going on. There is grown men and women in their parents' house abusing their parents and the government supporting their actions and their attitudes. Huh. And it's like abuse is abuse. You know, you can, it's amazing how many parents are scared of their children. And it's like they need to find a new place to live. They don't need to be there no more.
No, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? If that's what's going on. And so adult children. And already get a vision for younger ones. You know, I get a vision. It's not here. I can see your address. It's not this address, but it's another address. It's happening. You're going to test all your old theories out.
That's right.
We'll see how that goes and hope it works for you.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, right. You're right. But the thing is that Jesus said it won't stand. So America will not stand if we stay polarized. But God specifically told me. I mean, he told me that you cannot unite America right now under God. You can't unite it under God. Because when you declare, let's get together, I'm talking from a man's perspective, you know, let's unite around God. You know what? There's so many gods in America right now, so many perspectives, wrong perspectives of who he is. You'd find out we'd still be just as spread out as we are. By the way, there's only one God. There's only one interpretation of the word of God. It is what it is. It says what it says. Now, how we apply it to ourselves is totally different in application, but it means what it means. Sin is what it is. I mean, that's what it is. And we have to line up with God's word. God's word doesn't change every time you pass it to another church or pass it to another person, or you're in a little circle going like, what do you think repent means? Well, I think it means, you know, have less cappuccinos today. I mean, what do you think? I think I need to stay away from, you know, like, what are you talking about? It means repent. But this is what we're doing today. Yeah. We're changing the interpretation of God's word, which you can't. You can, but you're changing your God. And he told me that America, if you declared, let's all get together under God, people would make a move to come together under who they perceive as God, but you would find out they're in totally different places. And we're going to have more of a prophetic conversation, obviously, here. But, you know, we think about this, that, you know, binding Texas. If you can bind Texas, Texas would be the strong man. Texas is where the California businesses are leaving California and coming to Texas. State Farm Insurance has come there. Oil companies are setting up the refineries there. I mean, the businesses all come because their faith is in the strong man. And it is strong. I mean, Texas is strong.
Mm-hmm.
But the prophetic word is that the adversary is going to come really hard across the states, but come towards the Southwest and especially focusing on Texas. It wasn't that Texas wouldn't survive it, but the fact is they're trying to touch the strong man. And Jesus said in Matthew 12:25, he says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Because they're saying, how are you doing this? How can you be doing this? Obviously, he's Satan. Mm. You know, they call Jesus Satan. He says, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. In other words, if we stay in this divided state, America just can't stand. It's not going to stand despite our division. Our division will guarantee that Jesus is not a man that he would lie, or the Son of Man that he would change his mind. We will not stand unless we become united. And he says, if Satan drives out Satan, he's divided against himself, and how then can his even kingdom stand? So he says even Satan has to be united enough to be able to do what he's doing. That's one thing we always got going for us with people held captive by Satan, because they're going to get divided. They won't last long. No. They'll argue. Notice all these communism regimes that killed millions and slaughtered millions of people last for a very short time because they turn it on themselves. They don't trust their own folks. And I mean, Pol Pot, like we talked about, maybe 4 years he made it through that and killed 25% of the population. Hitler, you know, made it for... Because it turns in, you know, the devil turns in on himself, and then his whole plans just go awry. But by the way, 25% of the population was killed by the time it happened. And in Cambodia. Or again, he says, how can anyone, Jesus, enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions? In other words, how can I enter America and carry off America's wealth, right? Mm-hmm. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first attacks Texas? Hmm. Unless he first ties up the strong man, Jesus, this is what Jesus said, then he can plunder his house. Think about it. He says, and then he goes, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. There's a lot of not with me's and scattering folks, you know, in the nation right now. We are divided, and Texas is a focus, including California, which is, you know, if it was a, if it was its own nation, it would be like the eighth largest economy, maybe, or something, how big it is. So if California, you know, stops functioning, it's a huge hit on America. But Texas, but California, you know, we won't necessarily lose our morals if California.
We may be actually,
you know, more moral. I don't know. But Texas is, you know, spoken of prophetically as a strong state, and it's proving itself based on reports that it's responsible for 50% of the economic growth right now in America. Wow. So I mean, if you're pulling in 50% out of 49, you know, other states, I mean, that's a pretty powerful state.
There's a stat that says that of the 10 best cities to do business in across the country, six of them come out of Texas.
Dallas, six out of 10, 60% of the cities. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
They have their own power grid. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in Texas.
Yeah. I think it was Teresa Murray was telling us the oil refineries are being built there and all these different, even the oil companies are coming in. They're finding safety in this. But listen, there's only safety in God.
That's it. Right.
Notice that if you have corporations who are looking for survival, and by the way, if somebody says, this is crazy, you know, people saying, you know, the enemy are these corporations. First of all, the word corporation means that whoever that billboard's name is and whoever the people showing up at that particular leadership, they don't own it. It's not theirs. That means it's publicly traded corporation. I'm saying they don't own it. It's not their corporation. It's not their company. You know who owns it? You probably own it. That's how you get your retirement. It's your 401k. It's all cut up like a piece of pie. It's spread out called stocks, and it's your neighbor that owns it. So if you fall captive to targeting a corporation who's on the public stock market and blame them, you're falling prey to the enemy because it's actually you that owns it. So if you curse Wall Street while you're drawing your own money street from your retirement, you're speaking the curse on yourself. And if that corporation's taking advantage of America, that's you taking advantage of America because you wanted retirement or you wanted more money or you wanted more stuff. So you bought stock in that company and you hold that board's feet to the fire to raise that bottom line so you make more money. And guess what? It's you. It's a stockholder.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even understand how things work.
How it works.
Mm-hmm. It's your neighbor that owns that. It's not the publicly traded means the public actually owns that thing.
It's not the CEO. He can be gone tomorrow.
Yes, it happens all the time. And so if you go back and look at your retirement plan and take the word Merrill Lynch off of it and dig deeper and find out the portfolio, you'll find I own Coca-Cola. I own American Can. I own, you know, Chevron. I own. And so when we speak against these and say these things are evil and we look and that's our portfolio, we got to ask ourselves, what are we? Are we promoting this mindset? Is our greed demanding these guys produce more so our retirement is higher? We can buy a bigger mobile home, have a bigger house, bigger boat, you know, more things. Just a little small lesson, Howard. And so Jesus says, you know, that if you bind the strong man, and so I would say based on 6 out of 10 cities, 50% of reportedly, you know, 60% of the nation's economy is coming out of Texas, that Texas is the strong man. And then you're looking at, prophetically, this all-out attack is going to come on the southwestern part of the United States. It's going to affect the entire United States, and that Texas is going to be a primary focus. You look at the borders being flooded by a whole bunch of folks, and in that you have the MS-13, which is a real cute little name for people that will cut your head off, your arms off, your legs off, and hang you from a billboard at 13, 14, 15 years old. Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Or ship their heads of their opponent in an ice chest to their adversary, to the local police. They'll kill police officers on the street.
Yeah, and that's just one out of several.
Several. And so they're flooding, including ISIS, you know, pouring over the border of Texas. And so we, by not standing up for governor, who's the governor of Texas?
Rick Perry,
and just going, winking at the fact that they had him arrested. Mm-hmm. Or a felony charge when all he did was really to go down and just say, hey, if you're not going to protect the southern border, And that's what the president's supposed to do, by the way, just so you know that. But I personally believe the reason why he's not doing it is because he's saying we've sinned. That's I mean, you think about all these things going on. We've violated every possible thing you can imagine, it seems like, in the Constitution. Not we, but they. And nobody's blinking. Mm-hmm. This looks like what Gideon was watching. He says, you know, Gideon, just get close. Just get close and watch them turn in on themselves. And he got close with, he had his little flashlight and his sword. He's peeking over, terrified, looking over the edge of America and going, okay, what are you going to do?
No.
And then you watch them. They're turning in on themselves. They're having dreams going, you know, Gideon's going to run over us with a barley loaf. Yeah, I mean, crazy things are going on. And they're just, you're seeing it just America devour itself and our own values and what we stand for. Nobody's saying anything. And by not standing up for the governor of Texas when he was trying to do what the federal government was supposed to do, we just basically said, you know, just let it happen. Hmm. Just let it happen. And what happened was the very thing that we're going to be, that's going to be coming against us is three things: economic crisis, a drought, and terrorism in America. We let just flood into our borders the consequences, because economic crisis comes when plagues and famine and terrorism happens, because people don't do their business. They don't make their products anymore. And all of a sudden, 50% of the economy goes boom. And you can't afford gas for a while. But it's only going to last for a while. Minimum force necessary to get America back to the place that God wants it to be. You know, one thing we can learn about, and we want to just, you know, God's people, we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And it's not just knowing it, you know, just information alone puffs up. But it's about what do we do with what we know. And you start thinking about, you know, why would you put a righteous governor in jail? Why would you not defend the borders of a nation? Even if we're being disciplined by God, you got to ask yourself, you know, why is it so easy to sue the governor of Arizona for fulfilling the federal law? I mean, she was doing what was right and expecting what was right, but they sued her
for the most basic expectation.
Yeah, I mean. and nobody blinks. And so everybody starts focusing on that 530 people. 325 million people who sent and voted for and pulled a lever, either by you voted for them by showing up, or voted for them by not showing up, or voted for them by not registering to vote, or voted for them by being ignorant when you showed up and didn't bother to find out who they were, or voted for them by just calling up, Uncle Bobby, what do you think? You never put a time in to find out who these folks are. You didn't even read their website. We sent them there. We sent these people there. 325 million of us, and there's only 530 approximately elected officials in Washington, D.C., which we sent there, which, by the way, we can send other people there. You know, it all depends on what we want to do. But when they don't fulfill the laws of the land, the constitutional requirements by the executive branch to be able to enforce the laws that say, you know, protect our borders, one of the big things that our president does, all of our presidents, when you think president, don't think our current president, think the office of presidency. Because if you just think current president, no matter who they are, you're going to, that's all, you know, there's so many things being said about whoever's in office at the time, you're thinking about that person, but they're just there for a moment. You think about the constitutional office of presidency. And that's why we honor that, because it's they're, you know, it's the people's house. Their job is to actually guard our borders. That's the biggest thing. And I'm talking to some Canadian sisters, just you and I both were talking to them. And they're talking about their biggest concern is their southern border.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, please forgive us. I'm so sorry. You know,
for those who don't know geography.
That's us.
That's us. That's right. I'm sorry. America is south of Canada, by the way. Oh, Maple Leaf. Oh, Canada. So we need to pray for them, because great tragedy has befallen them, and understand their prime minister stands up for God, for Israel, and for the prime minister of Israel. And he's even standing with America in all of our confused state, trying to defend, destroy ISIS or whatever they're saying now. Roll it back. Curve it back, water it down, dilute it. So when you start seeing, you know, why did they do that to a governor of Arizona? But, you know, she's governing. They liked her. They put her in office. Why did they do that to a governor of Texas, Governor Rick Perry? And why do they do that to men and women who stand? Why do they do that to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu? Why do they make him look like a fool when he's the furthest from a fool? When he speaks, you're hearing the history the way America used to speak.
That's right.
Man, you hear him speaking. If you want to be encouraged, go to VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, go to the Torch, and listen to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speeches at the United Nations. You'll be so encouraged. It's like, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Sanity, clarity,
we can do
surety,
this thing.
Confidence.
You know, evil is evil and good is good. I mean, it's that's amazing right. How clear he is on that. And
even the Prime Minister of Canada is clear. He said this was a terror.
It was amazing.
Terror attack.
He didn't wait and pause
he didn't
and
wait.
Think. And we're still working on it.
Yeah.
Waiting on
it doesn't take rocket science. You know?
Yeah. But that's happening because we've sinned.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening because, I mean, these people, this 530, well, not all of them, but definitely our executive branch, they're intelligent people. They're very intelligent. So this is intentional.
Right.
This is not an accident. This is not an accident. This is a theory. I believe it's an Alinsky theory, you know, and if we don't pay attention, we're going to get part two.
Yeah.
You know, part two sitting out there waiting in the wings. And so, with this, how do we respond? Well, you're looking at how the enemy does. He begins to discredit righteous voices. So when you see the governor of Arizona saying, our people are being killed by these criminals, not the illegal aliens, but by the criminals who are with some of the illegal aliens. They're killing our people. They're hurting our people, so we have to stop them. When you hear a righteous voice like that, and then you watch the leaders of our nation go sue her in the courts for trying to stop that, or you watch Rick Perry from Texas, mm-hmm. Go down there like a cowboy on the boat and helicopters and cheering up the guys on the ladies on the border down there saying, we got to beef this thing up. He tried to get the president to come down and do something, wouldn't. And the next thing you know, they try to discredit him by having him arrested for a felony. A felony means that if you get convicted of a felony, you cannot run for office, I believe. And you stay in office.
Can't vote too, thank you.
Cannot vote, and you cannot bear weapons.
That's right.
We want Texas bearing weapons. Mm. Anyway, so, but. And so you got to be careful because they call Jesus, like I said earlier, they call him Satan. Don't buy into the crowd that says, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. It's this mob mentality. Just because somebody gets discredited by man does not mean they're not righteous by God. We got to look for the righteous voices and we got to realize, okay, man, why did all that evil come against this righteous stand? I need to pay attention to what that man or woman said. Because this is what it's like in Jesus' days. Jesus is walking on the earth, and he's ministering, and you had people discrediting him. They were discrediting him. I mean, if you would have had Google and social media, and it's amazing what we're allowed to happen over social media today. It's like, so ISIS is using Facebook and YouTube to gather recruits from America, let's cancel their account. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
You think.
It's like, you can't have an account because you beheaded somebody in your account. It's just real weird. I'm trying to, they're using all this. There's a direction that they're going with this world, by the way, because you can lose your account. People do get shut down on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
People do get shut down on YouTube.
Like Kirk Cameron, remember Unstoppable movie?
Yeah, the Christian guy shut down.
That one, the Christian guy got shut down. That one, they had no problem shutting down.
You know, and I don't know the policies and all that. I'm not talking about the companies, but I'm just saying if the social media, if some corporation company that owns a way to put video and pictures up is still allowing it to happen, then that's what's really happening. That's how they're doing it. And so they were discrediting Jesus. I mean, Jesus is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. When you've seen the face of Jesus, you've seen the face of God. You're looking at the one who everything was created by him and for him, and he was holding and is holding all things together. And you're looking at somebody who's not doing anything or saying anything unless God told him to do it or say it. And they were discrediting him, constantly discrediting him. They tried to discredit the first time when the disciples started to preach after Pentecost. They immediately locked him up in jail. How many people would quit listening to a godly man or godly woman because the evil captives of darkness tried to discredit somebody by arresting what they did, the governor of Florida? Mm-hmm. They go, well, I guess it must be. I mean, are we that cattle-like? Are we that sheep-like? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Are we that easily swayed? You know, and of course, he comes out of that going like, this is the best thing that ever happened to my campaign.
Yeah.
Now there's a difference between evil and good. And so So with that, you know, they discredited Jesus. And if you would have bought into that, you would be a part of that crowd when they're holding up, when Pilate is holding up, either it's going to be Jesus released or it's going to be a murderer released. His name was Barabbas. And so you had this crew called the religious Pharisees. And remember, it's always a religious thing. It's just wild. I mean, you know, when you see religion and government coming together, that's why the First Amendment's there. They knew when religion and government comes together, we're going to have the very thing that we broke free from. Because that's what you had the Church of England.
I mean,
that's
King
what
they, George.
Yeah, King George. I mean, that's why the First Amendment's there, to keep the government away from religion. Not a religion away from the government.
Right.
And so when you start seeing government merge with the church, in other words, you start seeing the church morph and go, okay, Jesus is not the only way. Okay, we can all get along, united faith. Okay, we can sin and it's all right. You know, they're just adjusting their beliefs to fit with a uniformity to a government. Then you're looking at something that's going to happen, what's happening in Russia, in Ukraine, when the Russian church came down, and there was a Russian church that was saying, go down and shut down those churches because they're in rebellion to us in Ukraine. It was the churches. And then they stored their bullets and weapons in the basement of those church buildings. So really, you know, the church, and we use that word loosely, but the church is the body of Christ. You know, those who have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. And there can be those that, you know, are in rebellion to God, but will be coming, you know, you can come back to God, but it's not a building. So we're not talking about a building, but that's what happens when you see those things come together. But so here they are. You're going to start seeing a mob mentality where people just start going to the streets because they're hungry. They lost their job. Things aren't working out right. They're thinking they can push. I mean, you're looking right now in Missouri where a senator just got arrested with a gun on the streets in Missouri. She had a pistol and she had 8 rounds of ammunition in her pocket, which means you didn't trust your constituents too much, did you? Mm-hmm. You were going to go out and march with your constituents, but you carried a pistol. Aha! Reportedly. and so with that, know that here we are. And I want you to get this wisdom of what's about to happen in America so you're not caught up in the crowd like people were when they begin to cry out for God to be killed. Kill God in our nation. Mm. Kill God in our city. Kill God in Israel. So we're talking about, you know, uniting. How do you unite? Because a nation divided against itself will not stand. And so how do we unite? And, you know, originally, and I'll come around with this to probably bring some more clarity, hopefully before this program ends with this. But if you just said, you know, let's unite around God, because we're so untaught, we don't haven't been taught the ways of God. We have all these different diverse perceptions of God. And if your geographical location was based on your perception, we would be scattered all over the place because that person thinks this is God and that person thinks this is God and this is God. And so here they are. They are being organized and united for one cause at this particular point when I was right before the break, when God himself, this is the decision for Israel now. God himself is before you, Jesus, Emmanuel, Son of God, and a murderer, somebody who is not of God. And you have a religious, the merger of government and the church, you know, religious and government, is they began this chant. And this is the chant, you know, they said, you know, give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas. But that's interpreted, kill God. Kill God. That's what's interpreted. Kill God. Kill God. Well, since these rules for radicals and Saul Alinsky methods and Children of the Light, which you can find out more about in the VFN Torch, they changed the narrative. But if you look at the definition, it's the same definition. Kill God. Get God out of here. We're ready for Jesus to be gone. We're tired of him teaching. We're tired of his words. He's just divisive. He's Lucifer. He's Satan. He's caused us nothing but problems. Nail God to the cross. And if you're in that mob mentality and you don't believe that the government and religion could come together, you're going to get out there. You're going to go, give us Barabbas. Give us the 1%, the 1%. You're going to be in that chant. But when you define it, the goal behind those who are organizing it is kill God in America. Isn't it interesting? The first thing that Pol Pot said to the Cambodian people when he finally got into his place, his dream place of being leader of Cambodia, was God is dead, and today is year one. That was followed by killing 25% of the Cambodian population in the 70s. In the 70s. This is not like 1860 whatever or whatever. And don't think for a moment. I mean, what the Lord has shown me and others, there's going to be great death. I mean, there's going to be something, unless we repent, there's going to be just a wave of many deaths. And I encourage you, get right with God, so no matter who we are in the context of this, everybody can say without lying, and some people lie at funerals, they can say, I know where he is. I know where she is. Because everybody's not in a better place.
No.
You're either for God or you're against him. You either gather or you scatter. Either gather or you scatter. You're either shouting for Barabbas or you're willing to say, you know what, I'll live for Jesus. That's it. And so they're shouting, you know, give us Barabbas, kill God, kill God. That's what this means, kill God. And guess what? They let the murderer go, and they killed God. They nailed him to the cross. They nailed Jesus to the cross. Now, God was in control. He allowed it to happen, but that's what they did. They said, let his blood be on our head. And how many people right now, they're trying to kill God in America? Anything God, anything righteous, any righteous voice. Are we going to get in this choir of people going, give us the murderers, give us the abortion clinics, give us the murderers, give us the dark folks that are in dark sin, you know, give us this, give us that. Or are we going to say, you know what, no matter what it means, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. I mean, that's it. You know, it's just that simple. Right now, God is allowing Jesus to be before us in America, and he's allowing obvious murderers, you know, people that are doing, and they're doing, they know they're doing wrong. They know they're violating the laws and they're doing these things that are wrong. But the question is, do we understand that God's before us and that the murderers are before us? Are we going to choose the way of darkness and sin? Are we going to say, even if it means my death in this present life, I'm going to choose God? You see, the Lord told me, he says, you cannot unite America right now under God, because he said, let's all get together under God. We're so untaught. You know, not everybody's going to be under God. But I got good news for you. God can unite us. Now, we can't unite ourselves under God because we're kind of all messed up.
Right.
A lot of the churches is messed up right now. 80%, 90% don't even know they're calling. Most everyone, based on what Rick Joyner says, not even been discipled. And
I think we need to get united with God first, and then we can get united with each other, right?
Right. And so God can unite us, because we're fixing to go through some stuff there's going to be a falling away. But the ones who's going to fall away, as 1 John says, they never were part of us anyway. He says, if they leave you, don't worry about it, because they weren't part of you anyway. So let that go. Let the unbeliever depart. But we're first to go through something that's going to purge us all. It's going to purge us individually. It's going to purge us relationally. It's going to purge us in our doctrine. And it's going to purge us in a stance of understanding the question. The question is either Jesus or Barabbas. Either God or sin. And that was a clear answer for everybody. And if you're listening to VFN TV and watching VFN TV and listening to VFN radio, and you can find out every word, it's not something you miss, because we have everything available for you at VFNTV.com. You can get educated and understand how this thing works. So you'll understand when religious Pharisees are starting a religious chant that it agrees with the government, that causes you to start be tempted with your flesh to harmonize, give us Barabbas. And you got to fight everything in your flesh and say, you know what? Even if I die, because this is the word, a day of reckoning is coming to America, a day of reckoning, and it's coming to every household. This is words that are being, it's coming right to your household, and you're going to have to choose who's your allegiance to. Is your allegiance to Jesus, who's going to be crucified, but God's going to raise him on the third day? Understand that we're not to cry or be upset when we die. Because to be absent from a body is to be present with the Lord. Because he was risen from the dead, we will be raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
We don't fear death. But if we choose the murder if we choose sin and choose darkness. So this is before us. You know, and it's going to come. This is the word. This is the word that we're hearing. Go to your houses. Everybody go to your house. They're going to come to your house. And they're going to ask you, who is your allegiance to? Mm-hmm. Who is your allegiance to? And I just feel like right now, there's some of you that have been religious. And you don't even know the answer to that question. You really don't. You've been hanging around religious folks who they never told you what the answer is because they don't know the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. Crying out to him and making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, saying, dear Lord, I've sinned. I've fallen short like Josiah. You got to hear that previous broadcast like Josiah and say, I've sinned, God. And you're going to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You're going to become his disciple. You're going to begin to abide with him. You want to know him, you can go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories. You want to abide with him, go to iabide.org. Become his disciple. Go to multiplymovement.com and begin this process of discipleship. Just join us and we will walk. We'll do this thing together and we will not, by God's grace, enter into any chant that says, kill God. We want to say, Jesus is Lord over America. Jesus is Lord over my home, over my marriage, over my family, over my business, over my state, over our region. It's time for us to stand up and no longer be ashamed of Jesus Christ, because he said plain as day, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. By the way, just so you know, that means you don't get in. That means you don't get in. God loves you. He wants you in. That's why he sent me right now to tell you this is how it works. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and your future, eternal future, will be awesome with God. No more sickness, disease, or tears. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.